of neatness and cleanness and of delegating authority. And notice, when they did eat, they were filled, verse 42, and they took up, they went out and gathered up the leftovers, 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. They didn't leave it lying around. What about you when you pack up and leave with your tent today? Any broken tent stakes left? Lengths of rope? Old dead flashlight batteries? An old boot or two you wore out? Dirty clothes? Sticks? Trash? Brush? Or are you going to leave it looking like a park out here? You going to leave it cleaner than the way you found it? They did all eat. 5,000 men. Doesn't say women and children. There must have been over 15,000, I imagine, of them there. And yet they had absolute neatness and cleanness. Well, we have done very well this year. Those 3 points, if you will remember them, will stand you in good stead so that when you realize that you're going into a restaurant on the way home, before you open the door, say, Father, help me to be neat and orderly, to smile at the waitress, to be pleasant, to thank her every time she sets something on the table, if she does serve me well, to tip her properly. To let people realize, well, who were those people? My, they were pleasant. They seemed to be so happy. They were so nice. They had such neat and orderly children. They left their table so clean, their napkins neatly folded. They were so courteous. I wonder where they were from. Think about that. If you do try to squeeze in being a Christian only at night on your knees, then you're not a Christian, as Mr. Meredith is showing. If you try to squeeze in Christianity just in the morning in your prayer room, you're not a Christian. You've got to be a Christian when you go in a restaurant, when you get up in the morning in your motel, the way you leave the shower, when you eat here at noon, as you're driving along the highway. Don't crowd in. Don't honk 4 or 5 times and crowd someone else off the road. Set a good example all the time, 24 hours a day. Well, most of us have. There have been a few, but very, very few. And every one of us, I'm sure, have noticed that this feast has been truly the most successful one that we've had here in Gladewater. It's been by far the neatest, the most orderly, the happiest, the best that I've experienced. I was impressed the minute I drove in with the order and system. But brethren, we can still improve. I've noticed little things, and so have you. We can still improve a great deal more. Next year, I'm sure we will improve a great deal more. But I want to thank you. I know God does. I know God appreciates it. I know my father does. He is still a little bit weak and ill this morning. I'm sure that he is much better. But he is not here. I don't know if he'll be able to be here this afternoon or not. I have 2 letters to read to you, finally. First, here's a letter from the deacon. From Mr. Billingsley, Mr. Hammer, this church, all the other deacons, the various local congregations, we want to say this to you. We, the deacons of the Radio Church of God, wish to express our appreciation and gratitude to all of the men and women who have willingly and unselfishly given us of their services and have put in so very many hours to see that everything was done in an orderly manner as God intends. We are unable to fully express our deep appreciation as we should. But God knows, and that's what counts. We also wish to thank the congregation for their splendid cooperation in helping this festival to be a success. I think that's wonderful. I'm glad they can write such a letter. We've never been able to write such a letter before. Now I have a letter from the Gladewater Chamber of Commerce. To the members of the Radio Church of God, Gladewater, Texas, attention, Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. Dear sir, on behalf of the businessmen of Gladewater, may I express a rather belated welcome to our city. Many of our business people have expressed appreciation for the visits they have had with your people in their places of business and elsewhere. They appreciate our trade. Many thousands of dollars are spent here in Gladewater every year. A lot of these people inquire around. They say, when's that festival going to begin? You know, I do my best business during that time of the year. Well, let's make sure it's their neatest business, their most courteous customers, too, as well as the most lucrative. Certainly, your patronage of our places of business is of great economic importance to our community, and we appreciate it and want you to feel welcome. We appreciate and respect the purpose which brings you to our locality, and marvel at the distance some of you have traveled. The very fact that we're here from over 40 states is amazing to these people. You think they'd go that far for their church? I doubt it. Certainly such loyalty and devotion to the church is to be commended. At any time that we can be of service to you, whether this year or in the years to come, please feel free to call on us. Sincerely yours, I believe his name is H.H. Williams, yes, the president of the Chamber of Commerce, Gladewater, Texas. I think it's nice that we do receive a letter like that from them. I just want to say thank you all for your cooperation, for making this the most successful Feast of Tabernacles so far, and may God bless you.
And beginning in the 13th verse, we will read to it from Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after that you have gathered in or from the threshing floor and from your wine press, and you shall rejoice in the feast, you and your son and your daughter and your manservant and your maidservant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within your gates. 7 days shall you keep a solemn feast unto the Eternal your God in the place which the Eternal shall choose, because the Eternal your God shall bless you in all your increase and in all the works of your hands, wherein you shall surely rejoice. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before the Eternal your God in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Eternal empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Eternal thy God, which he has given you. Here is the command, then, to appear before God at these 3 seasons. We do take up the offering twice during the season to make it a lot easier for God's people who do not always know how much they will have left at the first time, and others who come at the first day and cannot come for the last. But these 3 spiritual seasons of the year, including all of the 7 feasts that you've heard explained, we are to take an offering. Last night, a long-distance telephone call was made to the office, in which it was learned that money has been very, very low. It's been coming in only in small amounts, and we're going to need a great deal more very, very quickly in order to pull the work of God literally out of a quagmire, a financial quagmire. The last offering was $13,800. Now, Mr. Armstrong is not able to be here because he had a fever during the night. I understand he does feel better, much better, but he's resting in bed. He did, however, send information that he wanted us to think very seriously about the condition of the work, and he wants us to try to go as far as we possibly can, as deeply as we possibly can, in giving until it hurts, to see if we can take up an absolutely needed amount of $25,000 this afternoon. Or with the other, I should say, yes. So we can have a total for the feast of $25,000. If we took up $25,000 this afternoon, it would be next to impossible, I should imagine. So that is going to mean almost exactly as much as we took up the first time. I think we can make it more, because if every single individual one of you, remembering the exact amount you gave last time, give that exact amount and then add a little bit with it beside, I think we'll go over that. I say I think because I'm not sure. I think we also have a much smaller attendance today than we did that first day. I think several have gone, perhaps 200. Are not here now who were here that first day. So it's going to mean that we'll have to do as God has provided, not more than God has provided. Would all the deacons please go to Mr. Armstrong's office to facilitate the offering then? Go to Mr. Armstrong's office as quickly as possible, all the deacons. That's all the deacons from whatever local congregation you may be. And we can have this taken care of very quickly. We have had a daily quota, as Mr. Armstrong gave you the financial figures. It has been much higher, I'm sure, than most of you had assumed in the work. That quota has been down just barely above $2,000, or way less than half of what is needed, which is absolutely going out every single day in huge checks. $5,000 here and $8,000 there and $10,000 there and $13,000 and $20,000 amounts for the buildings, for the radio broadcasts, for the printing, for the salaries, all of those things. So, as he has explained before, while we're over here, the finances do seem to drop right out of the bottom of the work, and Mr. Matson is very frightened, frankly. He told Mr. Armstrong that he is very worried about the financial circumstances at the office in Pasadena. Now, Mr. Armstrong said he would not change what he had set, that all of the money that is collected here will go for the tabernacle building. But I think all of you have realized by being here and seeing it with your own eyes how desperately we do need that new tabernacle for next year. Here it rained several times this year. Many people even stayed at home, I'm sure, and missed several of the very best sermons because they felt there wouldn't be enough room if they came and they would have to sit outside in the rain. So next year we want to be able to house everyone and an additional, perhaps one-third, who will come as well. So if the deacons would begin to pass out the baskets, the envelope should have already been taken care of. If you have tithe you want to turn in, don't bother with it now unless you already have an envelope. If you have tithe, save that and turn it in later. This should be a special offering over and above your normal tithes and offerings. And during the offering, we'll have a piano and organ duet. The deacons are passing along the baskets. Music by George C. Stebbins, entitled, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Mrs. Richard D. Armstrong at the piano, Mrs. Eckert at the organ. An organ and piano duet. announcement before the main message. There will be an evening meal for any of you who wish to eat here this evening. There will be one evening meal this evening. Now for the final message. My father was not able to be here. It has been his custom to bring this final message on the theme of this day, but he has asked my brother instead when he was at the hotel this morning, so he is bringing the message, the same message Mr. Armstrong would have, although I'm sure it will be, of course, from his own words, from the Bible. So I hope you will all listen very attentively, realizing this is the last meeting. I hope all of you will rejoice in it and get as much from it as you possibly can. And so now, my brother, Mr. Richard Armstrong.
This recording has been brought to you by BibleStudy.org, who did the time-consuming work of reclaiming the message.